shall turn to the Word of God and 1 Samuel chapter 12. 1 Samuel chapter 12, we will read verses 23 and 24. Chapter 12, verse 23. Moreover, as for me, God forbid that I should sin against the Lord in ceasing to pray for you. But I will teach you the good and the right way. Only fear the Lord and serve him in truth with all your heart. For consider how great things he hath done for you. Samuel was a prophet of the Lord, and he has a special place in the history of Israel. He was the prophet that introduced the first king. His birth was special. He was asked of God. Hannah prayed for a child, and God answered her prayer. His upbringing was special. His early childhood was within the tabernacle precincts, and Eli was his example and mentor. But above all, the Lord was with him. The Lord revealed himself early to this boy, Samuel, the one who was asked of God and who was taught to pray, "Speak, for thy servant hears." And Samuel grew up, and he became the leader and the judge of Israel. And he taught the people. But he was also a man of prayer. And we see in his history, time and again, he is praying for the people. And in the time of crisis, he assured the people of Israel that he would not sin against the Lord in ceasing to pray for them. Well, Samuel is an example for us, and we also should pray continually. We have great needs, and our sin is great. If we were convinced of it by the Holy Spirit, we would not think lightly of any of our sins. And we must acknowledge also our privileges are great, and that we come very far short of living answerably to those privileges. And so, friends, we are to humble ourselves for our innumerable failings, shortcomings, and our transgressions, and how we need to pray for the mercy of the Lord upon us. We should be praying for the reviving of his cause and the repentance of the nation on this day set apart for humiliation and prayer. May the Lord give us that spirit of humility and see the reasons for humbling ourselves, that there would be true humiliation, not in a way of defeat, in a way of shrinking back in shame and terror, but in a way of real humility, humbling ourselves before the Lord and seeking his face, and all through the precious blood of Christ. Well, Samuel sets before us an example of prayer, and that's the first thing to notice, the example of prayer. And secondly, the need of prayer. And we will consider thirdly, the intercession of prayer. And finally, in the fourth place, the persistence of prayer. Moreover, as for me, God forbid that I should sin against the Lord in ceasing to pray for you, but I will teach you the good and right way of the Lord. Only fear the Lord and serve him in truth with all your heart, for consider how great things he hath done for you. First of all, the example of prayer. Samuel was a man of prayer. His life was full of prayer. That was discovered early on, this habit of prayer. As you know, the familiar account of Samuel as a boy hearing someone call his name, Samuel, Samuel, and he went to Eli several times and asked, "Did you call me?" And Eli said, "No, go back to bed." But finally, when Samuel continued to come, Eli gave him direction to say, "Speak, Lord, for thy servant heareth." And Samuel heard the Lord speak to him again, as at other times, "Samuel, Samuel." Then Samuel answered, "Speak, for thy servant heareth." So Samuel, from early on, prayed to the Lord. And he at that time received the word of the Lord, and he did not forget God's word to him. And after he rose up that morning, Eli required him to tell him all that the Lord spoke to him, hide nothing from him. And so Samuel was faithful, even from the beginning, to declare all that God had revealed to him, the whole word of God. And the prophets were faithful. Faithful prophets declared God's word faithfully. There were false prophets, but they withheld the truth from the people and gave to the people what they wanted to hear, preaching peace when there was no peace. The Babylonians, for example, were on the way to invading the land. But Samuel declared God's word faithfully, even to Eli, whom he no doubt loved and respected. But Eli had to face the truth that because of his failure to restrain his sons, his sons would be killed in battle. But the point is, Samuel was a man of prayer, but he was also faithful to communicate God's word. And later on, when the people came to him requesting a king, Samuel brought that matter to the Lord. In chapter 8 and verse 6, we read about this, what the people did displeased Samuel when they said, "Give us a king to judge us." But what we also read is that Samuel took the matter to the Lord. Immediately following, we read, "And Samuel prayed unto the Lord." He brought the matter to God. He could not deal with it on his own. He was an intelligent man, no doubt, and he judged the people. He decided on matters and was impartial, and the people respected him. But Samuel knew that he could not deal with this matter on his own, so he prayed unto the Lord. Indeed, the matter displeased him. The thing displeased the Lord, Samuel, when they said, "Give us a king." But he brought it to the Lord. He brought all his troubles to God, and so he knew his duty. As David, we read of him that he constantly went to the Lord in prayer. He was confused about many things at times. He was perplexed about his duty, but he never forgot the duty of prayer. Yes, he sinned with Bathsheba in a terrible backslidden condition, but that was the exception. On the whole, David always knew one thing was his duty, and that was to pray. So it should be with us. Whatever our doubts and fears and vexations and perplexities may be, let us never forget that the duty in the first place is to bring our situation to the Lord in prayer. We read of many examples of prayer in the Bible. We referred to Hannah already, the mother of Samuel, that in her perplexity and she was oppressed, she brought her situation to the Lord, and the Lord heard her prayer. We considered Jacob recently, who said, "I will not let thee go except thou bless me." Elijah was a man of prayer. He called upon the Lord that it might rain, and it did rain. Daniel prayed continually. And Paul was a man of prayer. And we have other examples of those who prayed continually. And so these are examples set before us in the Word of God. And examples are to be followed. If an example is set before us and we hear that person is a good example, well, it's not so that we can admire the person, but follow the example. And let us also be praying that we would be like Samuel and be men and women, boys and girls who pray. Because we all have need of prayer. And in the second place, let us consider the need of prayer. Samuel needed prayer. Again, from the beginning, he did not know what who was speaking to him in the first instance, and then when God continued to call him, well, he needed to know what God was going to convey to him, and so he says, "Speak, Lord, for thy servant hears." He desired God to speak to him, and so we need to pray also that the Lord would speak to us. And we may be hearing his word all the time, we may be reading his word all the time, but are we hearing his word really in our hearts? And do we hear the word of God so as to obey? We should be ready to hear the word of God like Samuel was. Speak, for thy servant hears. And it's only when we study God's word that we can know really what we should be praying for. People may be praying for things that God has never promised. We need to be familiar with the promises of God so that we might know what we should pray for and plead these promises in prayer. As well, we can only expect God to hear our prayers if we hear his word. And some people may ask, well, why doesn't God hear me? Well, they should first ask, well, are they hearing God's word? Are they listening? Are they obeying? God will shut his ears to our cries if we go on willfully in sin and not learn to do his will. So if we don't hear his word, he will not hear our prayers. But if we are endeavoring to fear the Lord and walk with him and obey him, then we know that we have the petitions that we ask of him. So again, Samuel was displeased about the people's request for a king. He was displeased. How could the people so blatantly refuse God's kingship? And God tells Samuel, basically, don't be displeased, but recognize that they have not rejected you, but they have rejected me, that I should not reign over them. Chapter 8, verse 7. So Samuel felt his need of prayer in this time of distress, and he brought the matter to the Lord. He went to the Lord in his trouble. He needed light. How was he to respond to the people when he felt that they were being disobedient? It was not wrong to have a king, but their reasons for wanting a king were wrong, and it came out of a rejection of God as their king. They weren't ready to embrace the leadership that God provided through the instruments that he gave them. But they wanted a king specifically who wore a crown and sat on a throne, a centralized government, and not to have Samuel here and his sons there. But they wanted to have a king they could look to. And they weren't thinking about the King of Kings. They weren't seeking his glory above all. They wanted to be like the other nations and have a king that they could look upon with their own physical eyes. Well, that displeased Samuel, and God is saying they are indeed rejecting me, the Lord, that I should not reign over them. But nevertheless, God directed Samuel to give them a king, and he also warns them about what kind of king they would have, which is a warning to us. If we really want that which God has not specifically provided for us, he may at last give us what we desire, but it will be to our own harm in one way or another. So let us be praying earnestly that above all things we would desire God's will. Yes, we have specific needs and we might have specific requests, but always with this condition, according to God's will. So Samuel knew his need of prayer. And again, real prayer is out of a sense of need. Real prayer is desire for things agreeable to God's will when we feel our need of them. And if you ask yourself, why do you not desire the things that God offers in his word? Well, it may be because you don't feel your need of them. Let us pray that we will humble ourselves. We will see our sins. We will recognize the need we have of God's mercy and God's blessing. Some might be asking, why do we have a day of humiliation and prayer? Well, if we're asking that, we're not seeing our needs, our own personal needs and the needs of society. when evil is all around, when people are throwing off the yoke of God's law, we have great need of humbling ourselves and praying to the Lord. And let us seek that we would pray for these mercies and forgiveness and repentance out of a sense of conviction and a felt need of God's mercy. Well, let us consider in the third place the intercession of prayer. Samuel was a good example in prayer, but not only prayer in general. He was an example in intercessory prayer. That is, he prayed for others. He made intercession for others. And so should all ministers and elders and all of God's people. They should not only be teaching the people, but praying for the people. Back to chapter 12, Samuel tells the people that he would teach them. But he's not only teaching them, he was not only judging them and deciding cases for them, but he was praying for them. God forbid, he says, that I should sin against the Lord in ceasing to pray for you. So he prayed for the people, he interceded for them. Intercession is praying for others. And the people knew that. They knew that Samuel was a prophet who actually prayed for the people. And they must have found comfort in knowing that he prayed for them. That goes at least all the way back to chapter 7, the chapter that we read, when the people gathered together in Mizpah. I believe that was a few kilometers north of Jerusalem. And they gather there to confess their sins and pray to the Lord. We read that Samuel instructed the people, verse 3, if you do return unto the Lord with all your hearts, then put away the strange gods, and so on. And he was telling the people to give up your idols. Do you desire the Lord's favor? Then serve the Lord, turn from sin, give up your idols. And we need to ask ourselves, is there anything in our lives that are more important to us than the Lord? That's what an idol is, basically. When we give it more place, more affection, more value, more esteem, more, and it's more important to us than the Lord, that clearly is an idol. It must be given up, must be turned from, at least in our hearts. It may not be the outward thing so much, but the inward affection and esteem that we have, that is to be given up. So let us pray that we would have grace to repent and turn from our idols. And so the people gather, they confess their sins. Samuel says in verse 5, gather all Israel to Mizpah, and I will pray for you unto the Lord. So there it is. Samuel will intercede for them. He will pray for them. And that is the duty of every one of us, to make intercession, to pray for others. And clearly, parents should be praying for their children. Ministers should be praying for their hearers. And we all should be praying for our nation's leaders. We're to pray for one another. And so when the people were in Mizpah and they were repenting, they were confessing their sins, we read of that, verse 6, and they gathered together to Mizpah and drew water and poured it out before the Lord and fasted on that day and said, we have sinned against the Lord. And Samuel judged the children of Israel in Mizpah. Well, the enemy was noticing. The Philistines thought it was a perfect time to attack. The people are gathered in one place. We can all come and slaughter them. But that's what the Philistines thought. The Philistines heard that the children of Israel were gathered together to Mizpah. The lords of the Philistines went up against Israel, and when the children of Israel heard it, they were afraid of the Philistines. Well, they were threatened by the attack of the Philistines. They were afraid. And so they came to Samuel and said, verse 8, cease not to cry unto the Lord our God for us, that he will save us out of the hand of the Philistines. They knew that Samuel was a prophet. God heard his prayers, and they were thankful, no doubt, that Samuel was there to make intercession for them. And so it was. Samuel prayed for the people. End of verse 9, and Samuel cried unto the Lord for Israel, and the Lord heard him. That reminds us that the effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. Here is one man praying earnestly. Yes, the times were bad. The people were just starting to give up their idols. But here is one godly man who was holy and godly throughout all of those years. And he is a righteous man, and he's praying to the Lord, and the Lord heard him, one man. Shouldn't this encourage us as individuals to seek holiness and be near the Lord, walk close to him, and pray, and he will hear our prayers? And so it was. The Lord heard him. Verse 10, and as Samuel was offering up the burnt offering, the Philistines drew near to battle against Israel. The enemy was coming, but the Lord thundered with a great thunder on that day upon the Philistines and discomfited them, and they were smitten before the Lord. The thunder came down, and the Philistines were destroyed in front of the Israelites. So God had fought for his people, and he won the battle for them. The Lord had heard Samuel's prayer, and so we are encouraged to intercede, to pray for one another. And we're all familiar, no doubt, with Paul's words to Timothy, 1 Timothy chapter 2. I exhort, therefore, that first of all, supplications, prayers, intercessions, and giving of thanks be made for all men, for kings, and for all that are in authority, that we may lead a quiet and peaceable life in all godliness and honesty. Intercession is good. Praying for others is good. Paul says, for this is good and acceptable in the sight of God our Savior, who will have all men to be saved and to come into the knowledge of the truth. Well, we should ask ourselves in all of our criticism of others, and we think of the criticism of the government, are we backing up every thought of critique or criticism with prayer for that person or group that we might be ready to criticize? Do we pray for the prime minister? Do we pray for the health minister? Are we praying that the cabinet would make good decisions? Are we praying for the nation at large? Are we praying for our ministers of the gospel, that church leaders would be directed and that everyone would seek the mind of the Lord and seek wisdom to do his, to know to do his will, and grace to do what they know God's word teaches? It is our duty to pray for one another, to be like Samuel, a good example in prayer, to intercede. He prayed for them, and that was his determination. That was his determination. He says, God forbid that I should sin against the Lord in ceasing to pray for you, but I will teach you the good and the right way. Only fear the Lord and serve him in truth with all your heart, for consider how great things he hath done for you. And that leads us to the fourth point, and that is the persistence of prayer. Samuel persisted. He persevered in prayer. He would not stop praying for others. He would not stop interceding. In fact, he knew that it would be sin to do so. He says, if I stop praying for you, I would sin. Is that the way we think of prayer or stopping praying? If I stop praying, I'm going to sin against God. Well, it's clearly our duty to pray without ceasing. I'm sure many of the children can remember that verse easily. Some of the short verses in the Bible that we have grown up remembering. Pray without ceasing. Pray all the time. Don't stop praying. Whatever you stop doing, don't stop praying. Whatever you are ready to give up doing, don't give up praying. But pray always, at stated times, and secret worship in the morning and evening, and family worship morning and evening, at meals, before and after meals, at stated times, and in public worship, pray, join in prayer with the minister and elders. and in private throughout the day, in your mind, which is the opposite of stated times, particular times, but throughout the day, in your heart and mind, with what may be called exclamatory prayer, exclaiming to God, Lord, help me, and Lord, help that person. Lord, help us all in our great need. So Samuel said he would not cease to pray. And we were to pray with the help of the Spirit and pray earnestly and pray persistently as Jacob prayed throughout the night, wrestling in prayer. He would not stop even when the angel said, let me go, for the day breaketh. No, he says, I will not let thee go. We might be tempted by pressures. We might be led in our minds to attend to other matters, but in our hearts and minds be resolved, I will not let thee go except thou bless me. And yes, we have duties to attend to, but let us never neglect the duty of prayer. And pray persistently. Pray in our minds throughout the day, exclamatory prayer. Give me light, O Lord, on this problem. Help me to find the answer to this problem, and so on. But especially on a day of humiliation and prayer. As some of us have employments, we have to go back to our callings, but let's remember that the whole day has been set apart lawfully by the church, according to God's word. And so let's remember the whole day is a day of humiliation and prayer. It's not a day to go enjoy ourselves. It's a day to humble ourselves and think about our own sins and the sins of the nation and the sins of the church and seek repentance for ourselves and others and pray without ceasing. But in our prayers, let us remember to give thanks as well. Because Samuel directs us, only fear the Lord and serve him in truth with all your heart, for consider how great things he hath done for you. We should be giving thanks for what the Lord has done. The Lord did a great thing for his people Israel when he delivered them from the Philistines miraculously with the thunder, and he destroyed their enemies. And Samuel set up the stone of help, Ebenezer, later on. And what did he say? Hitherto hath the Lord helped us. And can we not all look back and see how the Lord has preserved us? He has given us the health and the abilities that we have. He has helped us to this present moment in small ways, in great ways. We still have the means of grace. And we're to be thankful to the Lord for these mercies and show that we are thankful by diligently serving him, diligently using the means of grace, and fearing the Lord. Only fear the Lord and serve him in truth with all your heart, for consider how great things he hath done for you. We all need to pray. And some need to be praying earnestly for prayer itself. Do we truly pray? Are we offering desires in our hearts to God? Are we just uttering a few words that come in our minds and then we forget what we prayed about? Oh, friend, pray for the grace of prayer and a new heart to truly desire God's will, and that you would truly come to Jesus for salvation, that you in your heart would believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, that you might be forgiven all your sins. And never forget that by believing in Jesus, by simple faith and dependence on him, all your sins will be washed away. May the Lord bless his word. Let us pray.